Hey guys, I don't know if you're like me, but I love Count the Dings and everything it has to offer. I just can't find everything I need. You know, I know about Cinephobe, and I know about the mailbag, and I know about Bomb, but that's all we do, right, Amin?
No, we do so much more.
What?
Yeah, absolutely. If you sign up, patreon.com/countthedings, you'll find a plethora of other content, fresh content, extended content, the OG pod overflow, the Cinephobe cold opens that we've taken and made their own thing to live only there, the Rewatchingtons, Bomb in its full and unadulterated cut, early drops of Cinephobe episodes, and so much more.
Said the OG pod. Now, is it new or is it old?
Mace, I'm glad you asked that. It is a new incarnation of the old OG pod.
Oh.
So it's me, Zach, Trey, Waz, Tom.
I love those guys.
Just like we always were, going back to the True Hoop days, we're recreating that magic, recapturing and putting it back out. We're talking hoops, we're talking pop culture, and most importantly, we're talking for 40 minutes for free, but then another specific Patreon exclusive segment for every one of those episodes.
Funny enough about that OG pod, you're getting Tom and Trey on Mondays, you're getting me and Waz, aka Zosny, on Wednesdays. Amin's floating in between.
I'm a floater.
You never know when you're gonna get Amin in those, so you gotta listen to them all.
And what if I'm not sure what Maze looks like, because I've always thought he's a fat man with a fedora, he's got a weird voice. How can I see for myself what this Maze character actually looks like?
It's crazy you don't know the answer to this because it's the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page.
What?
The CT5s on the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page. You can look at all of us.
You can get all the OG pods on YouTube too, at Count the Dings 1 on YouTube, at Cinephobe Pod on YouTube. Patreon.com/countthedings gets you everything all in one feed. You can link it to your Spotify. And now enjoy the show.
Hey, listener, Zach Harper here. Underdog Fantasy, the easiest place to play fantasy sports. Also, fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. Here's how it works. The Pick'em game. Pick whether your favorite players will have a higher or lower stat total in this week's game for a chance to win big. How big, you ask? I'm so glad you asked that question, listener. You can win up to 100 times your money in a single night. Pick between 2 and 5 players, build a pick'em entry. You can also do rivals picks. You can put like Tyrese Haliburton and Jalen Brunson against each other, and whoever has more points, more assists, more rebounds, whatever you want to do, that is your rivals pick. I would maybe go with Jalen Brunson in these playoffs. By the way, in the regular season, Jalen Brunson, scoring tear, going higher on his point totals all the time. Joel Embiid, whenever he did actually play, higher on his scoring totals all the time. Victor Wembanyama, for the next 15, 20 years, here's a pro tip for you, take higher on the blocks. That's right. So you're probably wondering, how do you sign up? Oh my God, listener, you are full of good questions today. Sign up with the promo code DING, that's D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick first-time deposit offer, up to $250 in bonus cash. $250, man, that's a lot. Visit underdogfantasy.com or find them in the App Store. And don't forget to register with our code DING, D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick and first-time deposit offer, up to $250 in bonus cash. Must be 18 or older, 21 or older in Massachusetts, Arizona, 19 or older in Alabama and Nebraska, and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org. Arizona 1-800-NEXT-STEP. That's 1-800-639-8783. Or text NEXT STEP to 53342. New York, call the 24/7 HOPE line at 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369.
Yo, what's going on, y'all? You know the voice. You can't see the headline right now, but you know it's there. You know what's up with it. You know it's Mari. Back again, another episode of the Rap Names Podcast. Jerv, what up, man?
Good, my guy.
Not much, man. Chilling out and all that, man. You know, this was my first week taking over the Bomb socials. You know what I'm saying? It's been fun. I appreciate that, man. It's been fun tapping in with the fans and in this type of capacity, man. You know, like to really give Bomb like a voice and like a, you know, like a direction, you know, on these platforms and all that. You know, we're gonna be doing some good shit, man. So, you know, if you're not following us already, follow us at BOMM Podcast on Twitter, on Instagram. Check us out on Facebook, everything, man. You know, the whole nine and all that, you know. But like I said, this is another episode of Rap Names Podcast. And we start this off the same all the time, current music and all that. So what you listening to at the moment right now, my boy?
For me, I've been in my old bag. So I think I found a...
I feel like at this point, you ain't even got to tell us you've been in your old bag. That's just the bag.
That's hey, man, the German bag. I'm in my classic bag. How about that?
All right, there we go. There we go.
So I was going in the Hov's catalog. So I was listening to Volume 3 a lot this past week. It's one of my favorite Hov albums because it was for those that don't know, you know, that wasn't in the know, that was too young. My guy, what's good, my guy? What's good? What's good?
Man,
yeah.
Landon hopped on the podcast real quick. Say what's up, bro. Say what's up.
Talk that talk, yo. Let him know. Tell daddy let me hold something too, since he out here running Bomb Social and stuff now. Let me hold something.
You talking about me?
Yeah, let me hold something, bro. But nah, for those that don't know, like, you know what I mean? That was the whole album. If, you know, I'm old, so my memory, you know, I smoke a lot of weed, so my memory be a little faded. But, you know, that was the whole album where, you know, he kind of was just out here, right? Like, he, you know, everybody said he couldn't. He was always having mad features and all this shit. Mm-hmm. He didn't fuck with this producer. He didn't fuck with that producer. We got the Primo track. You know what I'm saying?
It's one of his best songs ever. Like, oh yeah. My God. So get it. Oh, man.
Yeah, and in full honesty, when that album dropped, I was a little late to come around to it because it was a different Hov. It was Jay-Z Sean Carter the Hustler. Jay-Z is dead, right?
Yeah, there's been a murder. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I was late to the album because, you know, it was a different vibe, but because I have an ear, because I respect the game and I respect bars and I respect all that shit. Oh, get the fuck out of here. Rudy Gobert is defensive player of the year.
Yeah.
This shit's nutty, man.
Nah, it's trash. He's a bozo. I'm gonna just say that, full disclosure. I'm not a Rudy Gobert fan. He's a bozo. He's a weirdo. He's all of the above. Defensive player of the year, like, I think they gave him that award because he's tall. Like, get the fuck out of here. For real.
I'm going to get into that. That shit was perfect fucking timing because now I'm up.
Absolutely. Now I'm waiting. Yeah, absolutely. Y'all don't woke him up now.
Yeah, for those that don't know, my bedtime is 8 o'clock. You know what I'm saying? We recording this joint. It's 9 p.m. Eastern. You know what I mean? My two-year-old is 90 degrees outside in these wicked streets, and my two-year-old doesn't respect naps anymore.
Oh, no. It's over for that. I'm gonna tell you right now, my boy. You know, I got kids of all ages. It's over for that.
Yeah. But, yeah, so that's what I'm listening to.
Okay.
Fucking Rudy Gobert, man.
Yeah, fuck him, man. Fuck Rudy Gobert. Volume 3 is fire, man. I go back to that album all the time because it's, like, Dope Man, just – So Ghetto, all of it, you know, all of that type of shit on there, man. I want to say NYMP ended that too, right? Like NYMP, yep, the realest niggas,
yeah.
Yeah, that's my shit. But you know, at the moment, man, I'm still listening to 42 Doug album. You know, of course, I got an album in rotation that we're gonna talk about later, which is Course of the Inevitable. Come on now, you knew goddamn well we was gonna talk about this album. You knew, you had to know that. I've been listening to that, and then I've been going back in my mixtape game, man. You know what I'm saying? Like my mixtape bag and all that. I've been listening to just nothing but like the members of Bird Gang tape, you know, Old Wiz, you know, Cushion OJ, Flight School, all that type of shit. You know, I've just been heavy on live mixtapes recently. Just to kind of sum it up, I've just been listening to everything from like 04, 05, 09, like just all that type of shit. But yeah, I mean, pretty much that's what I'm on. But without further ado, it got my man Jerv all woke up and riled up and shit, man. And listen, full disclosure, we are ranting this week. Jerv is Kevin Durant. I'm gonna be Ja Morant. We ranting this week. Let's do it. Jerf, go ahead and get us started off, my guy. What you want to talk about, man?
Nah, man, it's just I'm just sick and tired of my team not getting no damn respect, man. What they got to do to get a little love in these streets, man? Ben Simmons, I respect anybody who's in the league. You know what I mean? Rudy Gobert, congratulations. I don't get it, but congratulations. My man gave him 42 in his own building. Reigning the defensive player of the year. My man gave him 42. Now, I know there's been some cats that gave Ben buckets. Don't get it twisted. I understand. But at the end of the day, you out your damn mind if you think there's a person in this league that plays better defense than Ben Simmons. You smoking crack. If you think somebody out here playing better defense than my guy, right? Shout out to Joker. Listen, man, congratulations. I ain't gonna get into why I think you got it. It is what it is. But you out your damn mind if you think Joel Embiid ain't the damn MVP of the league. He had 39 in game one and came back with 40 in game two. Oh, with just a slight tear in his meniscus. And y'all want to tell me, oh, well, if he had missed fewer games, he would have been MVP. So he still had the number one record in the East. He still got his team in position to come out the damn East. Man, y'all, listen, y'all gonna learn, man. Y'all gonna learn, all right? We've been taking a lot of crap for a lot of years, all right? And this go out to everybody. Y'all know me. I've been screaming trust the process since it happened. I was courtside when the damn team was freaking 12 and whatever, 15 and whatever. I'm watching Jahlil Okafor. I'm watching Ish Smith. Shout out to Ish Smith. You can hoop. I'm watching, what's my man, Tony Roten. I'm watching all these dudes.
Tony Roten.
Now we here, right? We here. And we not playing with y'all, yo. We not playing with y'all. Everybody was hype after game one. And I understand there's only been two games played at the time we record this podcast, but I'm so damn confident in my team that I can come on here and say what I got to say. Y'all gonna learn to freaking respect this, man. Put some damn respect on our names, man. Put some damn respect on our names. Y'all gonna learn. I understand that Brooklyn's tough. Hey, man, we gonna see what it is. I understand Atlanta's tough. We gonna see what it is, all right? But at the end of the damn day, y'all know what it is. Check my team out. It's eight teams left playing in the damn playoffs, and my team is one of them eight teams, man. If your team ain't one of them eight teams, I don't want to hear you talk about my team anymore. I'm tired of everybody talking the Lakers this, that, and the third. I don't care. My team is playing. We have a chance to win the damn Larry O'Brien trophy, and that's that, Jack. That's just that, man. You know what I'm saying? Y'all think it's sweet? Come on. Come on. Come on down here, bro. Come to the damn Wells Fargo Center. Come on down, dog. We strong. All right? We going to show y'all what it is, man. We proving y'all we not no chump team. All right? That's just it, man. We not no chump team. Y'all going to learn, man. I don't care. Gentlemen sweep coming your way. And if it ain't gentlemen sweep, I don't care. It's a race of 16. We got five already. 11 to go. 11 to fuck go. Philly got something goddamn to say, dog. And we gonna fucking say it this damn year, man. We've been quiet too damn long, man. Y'all wanted it. We here. Let's get it.
I'm with that, man. I'm with that. I'm with that energy, man. Listen, thing, man. Y'all gotta know that. You got Jerv mad. I wish y'all could see his face while we're recording this. Jerv is a cool dude, man. I know y'all know this by now. He's a super cool dude. He's laid back. He's chilling. Yo, if y'all could have saw the look in his face right now, man, listen. Shout out to Jerv for
80,
that, man.
Hold up, bro. Hold on. I just saw the vote. I'm sorry. 84 first place votes for Rudy Gobert, 15 for Ben Simmons.
That's crazy.
15 first place votes for the man who every night that he play against a star that he guards, they putting up his stats and it's showing the star struggling and he get 15 votes. Why is Bam getting one vote, man? No shot at Bam, but he shouldn't even got a vote unless he voted for himself, unless somebody from Miami voted for himself. And why did Joel Embiid only get like five or six first place damn votes, man? For the damn, come on, man. All right, that's what's up. Y'all wanted it? We here now, dog. Y'all gonna get this smoke. Watch my man game three or game four, whenever this pod come out, whatever the game is, check the game three stats, man. I love Trae Young, but watch what happened. Watch what happened, man. My man called him out after game one, and what happened game two? He struggled. He struggled. He, I mean, he got his numbers, but he struggled. You know why? Because the best damn defender in the league was guarding him. Rudy Gobert don't even guard no centers. There's no centers in the league for him to guard. I'm tired of these centers getting defense player of the year because they get 15 rebounds a game and like two blocks. So, hey, so why, ain't locking nobody up.
Why did y'all let Philly get good, man? Why? I really blame.
Ain't nobody let us get good, bro. And I ain't even coming. Ain't nobody let us get good. We got good on our own damn time. We trusted the damn process, and we here, man. We here.
Y'all did this to yourselves, man.
You damn right. You damn right. Y'all did this to yourselves. Now get this smoke.
Hey, listen, y'all did it to yourself, man, because Jerv had to endure some bad years in Philly, man. Like you said, trusting the process, and everybody was smoking them for trading this and trading that, and you know, for the slogan and everything. Listen, y'all did it to yourself, man. So, you know, you welcome, pretty much. My rant is a little less that, you know what I'm saying? Because my shit is really, listen, I have a problem with Nike personally because of what they keep doing to these the Air Force Ones. It's pissing me off, and enough is enough. Somebody got to say something. Nobody's speaking up about this shit. It's like it's cool. It's not cool to keep giving us these Tim Duncan-ass Air Force Ones, these Magic Johnson and 87-ass Air Force Ones, these Clyde Drexler-ass Air Force Ones. And if you wonder what I'm talking about, I'm not talking about Hall of Fame Air Force Ones. I'm talking about ones with no fucking lineup on them. What is the lineup? The lineup is the little lining on the bottom. Not the thick sole, you know. Now I don't want the whole, you know, the thick sole of it to be colored the same color as the check, but just that little lining at the bottom, because the shoe looked naked and it looked absolutely ridiculous without it. And I refused to buy a colored check on my Air Force Ones until they fixed this shit. Back in the day, like when I was going to buy Air Force Ones, like every weekend, you know, they'd put out a blue pair, all white, blue check. Maybe the check is outlined in black. And then the bottom is like lined in black, you know, just to kind of make the color pop a little bit, you know, just to give you something. And it's that lineup on it, bro. Right now, they're giving us these Tim Duncan ass Air Force Ones, and I'm tired of it because I want to buy some. Last Air Force Ones I bought was the all white, the classic. Like you got to have a pair of those on deck, right? But I see the burgundy. I see the ones with the yellow check. You know what I mean? Like the LOS came through in the yellow check and hopped out with the, you know, came through in the yellow Lex and hopped out with the Air Force Ones with yellow check. You lie, but I almost went into my whole lock shit. Like I'm all over the place right now because this shit got me tight. But I'm seeing the yellow ones. I'm seeing the burgundy. I'm seeing the teal blue, the black, the whatever. But it's no fucking lineup on the bottom, and I can't cop them. I'm sorry. I'm seeing people rock them. Do your thing. If that's what worked for you, that's what worked for you. But like I said, y'all know me. I respect hairlines of all. You know, except Paul George shit, I can't get with it. I'm sorry. But I respect a good hairline anywhere. You know, anytime I see a good hairline, I salute it. Shout out to Jalen Rose. You know, he's basically like the head, like the blueprint, you know what I mean, of this shit. Nike, get your shit together, basically. Like, come on with this shit, man. Enough is enough, dog. It's been too fucking long. Y'all keep putting out these fire-ass colors on arguably the best silhouette of all time. And y'all ain't putting no fucking lineup on it. Like, cut the shit, man. Come on.
Anybody know me knows I ain't never really fuck with the Air Force One. It just wasn't my thing. I had a couple pairs. It just wasn't my thing. You know what I mean? Clark Kent told me, shout out to Clark Kent. He told me straight up that it's the best ever. You know what I mean? Air Force One ain't nothing better than a fresh pair. I disagree. I think the Air Max One is the best sneak to ever fucking come out on guys, you know, green earth. But yeah, man, Nike, y'all be drawing with some of the shit y'all be putting out, man.
Yeah.
But my only advice for you, bro, as a retired normal sneakerhead, you know, and when I mean normal, I mean I don't have any plugs. I don't get factory. I don't get none of that shit, man. My shit is all off the muscle. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? All off of just making contacts and getting phone calls back in the day from sneaker stores.
Yeah.
I never bang with it, you know. But you know, Nike, y'all be drawn. Just, you know what I mean? Y'all just be drawn, man. Like,
yeah.
You know, but at the same time, you know, I take the bag though. cut the check.
Yeah, listen, check. Listen, don't get it fucked up, man. Somebody gonna record this part and absolutely play this back and be like, wow, I think Lamar's a wild hypocrite. If Nike sent me 10 pair of the lineup-less Air Force Ones, you think I'm not gonna rock? Like, come on now. I'm not spending my own money on them. You say that, make that clear. If they sent them shits over, I'm rocking them. What? What?
It's funny you said that, man. You made me remember something. I went to the store the other day. I called myself, yo, I want to get fresh, right? Like, you know what I mean? I ain't been out. I got a wedding coming up I got to go to, man. I had to go buy all new shit. Lady was like, oh, man, people are really buying belts. She was like, oh, it's, you know, Father's Day coming up. And I was just like, man, I haven't dressed up in like 2 years, almost three.
Right, right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I need a whole new lay. I was in the store and I saw some jean shorts, right? Because, you know, I guess jean shorts is back in style.
They back now. They back.
You know, to each his own. I ain't really a jean short.
I'm not doing them. I'm sorry.
Never really been. But I thought about, I almost grabbed a pair, right? Because it was like, yeah, I saw a pair. They was kind of fresh. And then I just had Air Monarch vibes, you know what I mean, come my way, man. and the one thing, you know, I love anybody knows me, man. Being a girl dad is arguably the greatest thing, you know what I mean, that I've ever been a part of. You know, I'm not Jerv, I'm not John, I ain't none of that. I'm legit Haven's dad now, right?
Right.
I love my baby to death. I tell you the one time I'm gonna tell her no and keep telling her no. As if she'd say, Daddy, I bought you these Air Monarchs. I'm going to say, boo-boo, let me teach you something. It's called take back.
Yeah.
It's called take it back.
Get your money back, baby.
You know what I'm saying? You don't understand daddy style, and that's okay. That's on me. I didn't raise you right. You know what I'm saying?
Maybe it's a prank. Maybe by that time, it'll be some trend out, and they pranking your
pocket. I'm not cooking in them joints either. No, I'm not doing none of that shit.
Yeah. It's certain things. Like, you know, listen, my baby girl, like you said, I feel the same exact way. Like, my baby girl, I don't care what it is, dog. Baby girl asked for it, she got it. That's just, it's as simple as that. Like, it's really just as simple as that. You know, that makes, you know, with, that's within reason. It makes sense. We're going to make it happen. If she ever wanted me to wear those, as bad as it would hurt me, I would be like, baby, look at me, boo. I call her boo. She's the only girl in this world I call boo. Look at me, boo. I can't do it. Daddy can't do that. If you ask daddy to go whoop a grizzly bear ass, you got a way better chance of that happening than me putting on some Monarchs. I'm not gonna lie, them sisters just not. There's no swag about them. I don't care what colorway. I saw some black, red, and you know, some like bread colorway, whatever. And I was like, them shits look even worse than the originals. Like, why would they try to spice up an already swaggerless shoe? Like, the shoe just doesn't look good. I don't care what tastemaker or influencer wears the shit. I'm a grown ass man. And just because I'm a dad, it don't mean I'm out here dressing like Tim the Tool Man or Al Borland or some shit, bro. Like, I'm not, that's not me. I'm still me now. Let's not get that fucked up. I'm still me. I still got style. Still got grace. God gave me that. I'm not wearing the Monarchs, B. Fuck out of here. Like,
all the shout way. Out to Tim the Tool Man Taylor. Ha, ha, ha.
Tim a rat, man.
He a rat? Oh, no, I take that back. He's a rat? I take that back. I didn't realize he was a rat. I don't fuck with rats. I take that back.
He cooperated. He cooperated. Let me say that.
In real life or on the show?
No. On the show, he's good money with me. Like, if you could just separate the art from the artist.
Whatever. Oh, he ratted in real life?
In real life. Yeah, look it up real quick. Look it up real quick. You can look it up while we recording.
Yeah.
Tool Man was a, he was trafficking something, not even allegedly, like he legit was trafficking, you know, out here like that. And he was involved in a game with certain people, and he got caught with a shipment, to my knowledge, you know what I mean? And he cooperated with, to obviously, you saw the nigga out here on Home Improvement for mad years, like however many years it was on air. I watched damn near every episode of the show. I probably seen every episode of it, but when I got older, I found out.
I can't bang with man.
Yeah, it's nasty, bro. Yeah, it's nasty.
Just a little PSA. I am a civilian, and I know the difference
between ratting and telling. Absolutely.
But one thing I don't associate with ratting in any shape or form, man. So
yeah, because that says more about your character. It says a lot about your character, about who you are as a person. You know what I'm saying? Like, it doesn't have to involve me. I'm not a street dude, but if you a rat, that means you would do anything to get by. That means you would snake me in some type of way. So I'm not with it. Yeah.
Nah, I'm good.
Man. I just didn't want us to go on and
I appreciate that, man. Look out.
Nah, because I care about you.
I take my shout out back. My shout out's been taken back, man. It ain't even happening.
It's all good. Yeah, and that's all good. What shout out? I don't know what you're talking about now. But let's get to this though, man. Let's get to this. We didn't rant it. You know what I'm saying? We started this shit off real. I told y'all from the jump, Kevin Durant and Ja Morant. Like, that's what we on today, man. But I want to talk about this because, you know, recently, like I said, I was running back to old mixtapes and, you know, Jerv, like he said, he went back and was listening to Volume 3. And it always reminds me of a certain era. But now I want to switch gears and talk about music reminding you of a certain place or, like, putting you in the mindset of, you know, if you've never traveled to New York, if you've never traveled to Cali, if you've never been to the Midwest or the South, things like that, like, what – I want to talk about the importance of regional music. You know what I'm saying? Like, obviously the internet kind of made it to where you can't really tell where somebody's from if you just listening to them for the first time. For the most part, some people still kind of keep true to their sound. You got some cats out of New York who are, you know, who are still staying true to that New York sound. You got some cats out of Cali. For the most part, I think Cali kind of sticks to what Cali does, you know, as far as production-wise, content-wise. The South is, you know, evolved and everything. But I want to talk about the importance of it. Like, you know, because I feel like it's kind of a lost art, and I do respect the artists who still remind me of where they're from. Because if you put on some music right now, if Jerv put me up on some music from a cat from Philly, and he says, yo, this is my young bro from Philly right here, and I listen to it, if he doesn't have to sound like State Property. He doesn't have to sound like, you know, Young Chris or Gilly or somebody like that. But it has to put me in the mindset of, if I've never been to Philly, he's kind of painting a picture of what it's like through the music, whether it be production or whatever, you know. And let's not get it confused. I'm not saying don't branch out and rap on other beats, rap on bigger beats. But I think that your sound should sound like where you're from. You know, when I listen to Detroit music, the reason why I love it so much, when I listen to Babyface Ray or Peasy or 42 Doug or, you know, whoever it is I'm listening to at the moment, I love it because it reminds me of being back home. Well, my man DT, shout out my man DT. That's somebody I grew up with. You know, it's like family to me. Like, that music reminds me of being back home. That's why I love it. If they started making music that, you know, didn't sound like home, I think I would lose my connection with it. You understand? Cali is the same way. I listen to, you know, whoever from out there, Schoolboy Q, Kendrick, whoever, Dom, you know, just it sounds like Cali. It puts me in that mindset, and I love it. Like, you know, how do you feel about that? What is your take on regional music? Like, do you think it's do you feel like it's slowly like going away, or is it, you know, is it kind of like a little bit of both? Like, it's still around, but it's, you kind of gotta like seek it out.
I am. I think one of the problems I have with a lot of artists in general is when they don't sound like how I think they should sound. Okay. Right or wrong, you know, and part of that is I feel like they should sound, or they should, you know, be like the area that they from. For instance, I'm not the biggest. No, I'm not even not the biggest. I'm not a Lil Uzi Vert fan at all. Right. Respect the youngin. Get that bread, duh. But I didn't know Youngin Boy was from North Philly.
Me either.
Until they don't sound like until they said it, right?
Yeah.
Yep. Bobby Shmurda. First time I heard Bobby Shmurda, I thought Bobby Shmurda was from Atlanta. You know what I'm
saying?
Because it sounded like that shit. And all respect, I want no smoke. I'm a civilian. But at the same time, like, you know what I mean? I do think there's something to people should or people expect you to sound like certain things. But me being who I am, you know, my age, and also just respecting, not respecting, but me understanding the evolution of music.
Yeah, to clear that shit up real quick.
Yeah, because I don't respect a lot of the shit that come out now, but I also understand it ain't for me, and two, you know, you know what I mean? Well, no, it just ain't for me. But I think it's just weird to me when a cat be from New York or Philly or any insert East Coast type John, but they sound like they from the South, or they sound like they from the Midwest. You know what I mean? You're absolutely right. Cali had a very distinct sound back in the day. You know what I'm saying? Atlanta had a very distinct sound. Atlanta's sound was so was so wild and so crazy that, I mean, legit, the entire industry, the entire world tried to copy it. You know what I mean? The same thing when New York was running it And, you know, everybody came out, wanted to sound like they was, you know, from insert one of the five boroughs. You know what I'm saying? Yep. One thing I do love about my era of music, my era of hip hop that I grew up on, or just music in general, is that, you know, where you were from, you you know, you repped it. And one of the ways you repped it is you took that sound.
Yep.
And you might have flipped it, you might have chopped it up a couple of times, you might have stepped on it a couple of times, but at the end of the day, it still was that product.
Absolutely. It was like your version. It was a version of it. Yeah.
Yeah. Nowadays, you know what I mean, cats is they out here selling the shit that you get at the gas station, the THC shit that ain't real shit. You know what I mean?
K2 and all that. Yeah.
The
K2. Yeah.
I think where you're from is part of your story, is part of your grind, is part of who you are. And I feel like you should pay homage and respect to the sound that you grew up on and the area that you grew up on. But at the same time, I understand if you want to, you know, do your Puff thing and remix it a little bit. I get it.
Yeah. I understand that too. And I just don't think it should go too far left, because we got to, like, one thing that I do understand about this shit is that the kids are growing up, no matter where they are, they're growing up influenced by things from other places. But I just think that hip hop in particular, specifically hip hop, needs to sound like where you're from, because the experiences are yours and yours alone. So like when you go outside your house in Philly, you're not experiencing the same exact thing that somebody's going outside their house in Detroit or New York or Atlanta or whatever. It may be a version of it, but the slang that you use, the way that you talk to people, the way you sound, and like that kind of delivery in your voice, the way you talk, is going to be different. So the dialect and everything. So it kind of needs to reflect in the music, because these are your experiences. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can't, like, they're not mine. So when I hear it, I don't even know what I want to hear until you say it. And now I'm like, okay, wait, yeah, that sounds different. Where is he? Oh yeah, he's from Philly. All right, cool. But I think a lot of things, one thing I will say that kind of hurt that too was like I don't want to say the death of the mixtape culture, but kind of the mixtape culture being kind of wiped out a little bit by streaming and just the way the music industry advanced. Because usually what used to happen on mixtapes was local DJs used to put on local artists and just put them on a tape and let them go for theirs. And those local artists used to come from a certain borough, a certain place where they was going to, you know, going to the barbershop to rap against this dude to do that. You know, not necessarily had to be a battle rapper, but they going out there ciphering, they having fun, they rapping. And you going to sound like who you around and you influenced by, because these are the people from your neighborhood, people from the east side of where you stay, the west side, whatever, from a block over, two blocks over. So y'all all going to sound similar in a way, but y'all may get a different, you know, way of delivering. Like, PD Crack didn't sound like Young Chris, and Young Chris didn't sound like Neef, but they all sounded like they was from Philly. They had a different way of giving a story. Same with Detroit. Doug doesn't sound like Ray. Ray doesn't sound like Peasy. Peasy doesn't sound like, you know, Payroll. None of that. Like, but they're all from the city, and I can tell, because when I listen to it, the stories are real. And that's the one thing about the city too, is like, I'm sure that's how it is in Philly as well, but I know in Detroit, like, you can't rap about, not at a high level, I'll say that. You can't rap about things that you're not actually doing, because people will call you out and it won't last long. You know, you may have a run for a little while or whatever, but they'll call you out because you're not actually out there doing these things. So,
I mean, it used to be like that. It used to be like that, bro. And with all due respect, shout out to Rick Ross. He legit, to me, in my mind, I think he kind of changed. He changed it, right?
Yeah.
Because it used to be like that, right? Like, you know, you couldn't talk. You had to live it, right? And we found out he really wasn't living his raps, right? But his sound was so crazy. His luxury bars are so amazing.
Yeah, he found his lane. Yep.
I mean, his beat selection from day one was just impeccable. When he got, I guess the only way to say it is, I guess he got like exposed.
Yeah.
By King exposed, right? Like by the legendary Expose You Man, right? In the heart of his time. And the people said, I don't care. It's hot, right?
Yep. He just made better music. You know what's crazy? He did the same thing that 50 Cent did. He did the same thing, because John and him came out and said, oh, he did this. He got order protection. Nah, nah, nah. People was like, okay. Did you hear this new mixtape? Like, this shit is fire, nigga. Get the fuck out of here. I don't want to see that shit. I don't care if his name is on. I don't care if you got a video of him doing. I don't care. You know what I'm saying? But Ross did the smartest thing you could do at that time, and he just kept making good music. He came out with Mafia Music after that. Like, at the height of the beef, and people thought it was over with, Mafia Music dropped. And we was like, you know what? Yeah, I think we was wrong. I think this kid is going to be all right. I think he's going to make it. that was that. But yeah, but to Jer's point, like, it's obviously it's changed. You know what I mean? Like, it's a different day and age now. I think you can probably only speak on, like, things being a certain way, like, in your area, your direct area. Because, like, if I had a homie who was rapping right now and he wasn't doing any of the things he rapped about, I would have a problem with it. But my friends that I know that rap, like, my personal friends I know that rap, they stay true to what they live in their life. You know, they're not rapping about busting guns and selling this and selling that. They're rapping about, you know, elevating your mind and reading and doing this. And, like, they rapping about fly shit, luxury shit. Like, they're doing this. You know what I'm saying? Like, these are things that you can see. So, again, like, what I like for everybody to sound like where they're from, in a perfect world, everybody just would. But, I mean, it just depends on what you're influenced by. You know what I mean? Like, that's really what it come down to. And I think it's only going to get more spread out as we go on, because the internet, like I said, the internet made everything. Like, you can say cap, and somebody in Iowa is saying cap, or they saying they smoking the op pack, or they doing this and doing that. And it's like, yeah, that shit came from a billion miles away from where you live. And when you go outside your door, most people aren't talking like that. You know what I'm saying? Because the internet is still a very small part of, like, what's actually going on. But music-wise, I think it did kind of level the playing field where people can get on. It might be, like you said, like Uzi. Somebody like Uzi may not have been able to get on because he didn't sound like he from Philly. If he didn't change his sound up and sound like, you know, something else, because that may not have been his life. You know, his life may not have been what Benny Siegel was going through, or, you know, or what Meek was going through, or whatever. So, I mean, I guess it got as good and as bad. You know what I mean? But yeah, I think we kind of, you know, agree on that right there. But it's time. Oh, it's time.
So let's do this, right?
Let's do this.
You just tee it up. Let me just say my piece. I'm gonna put my fucking microphone on mute, and I'm gonna just let you have at it, my guy. You've waited X amount of years for this.
Yes.
You've waited X amount of days. You know what I'm saying? Yes. So, me being the man that I am, I think it's only right if I just, you know, give you my little 2 cents.
Yeah. Do your thing, bro.
And then just, you know. So, with that being said, understood. And I don't think it's a secret. My guy, Mari, his... who I was considered your GOAT rapper, your favorite rapper of all time.
Yeah,
that's my
favorite rapper of all time, yeah.
he decided he wanted to venture back into the rap game and drop a new project, right? The Course of the Inevitable.
Yes, sir.
By one Lloyd Banks, who I mistakenly called Lloyd a couple shows
ago. Yeah.
Corrected myself. Because, you know, I don't even want to do that to him, because to me, you know, to the world, he's Banks, and there's another nigga named Lloyd, and I don't want to confuse him. But, you know, so the album dropped on Friday. What date was that? Friday, June 4th, I think that was.
It was the 4th, yeah.
Friday, June 4th at midnight. And, you know, I was asleep. I woke up to a tweet from my guy saying this album's fucking perfect. So off top, I said, oh, this motherfucker, here he go with this. Here we go. It's about to be weeks and weeks and weeks of just talking about this fucking album because it's perfect. But I said, you know what? Let me not be that guy. Let me listen to it. And the first thing I do anytime I see an album come out now is I look to just see how long the album is, right? And I'm not gonna lie, I saw 18 tracks, an hour and 8 minutes, and I said, "Oh God, I don't know."
Oh, like, no,
I don't know. Yeah, yeah. But for honesty, I think it's a very, very, very good album. Shout out to Banks. I think he did his thing. He did what most can't do, which is take
as much time off as he's taken off from the game. And I'm not going to say not lose a step or anything, because I mean, because if you say somebody lost a step, it sounds like you're knocking them, and I'm not. I just think it's human nature to take a step back from when you were at the height of your career, especially when it's been 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 years since the last time you dropped a project or whatever the actual number is. But he sounds exactly the same, and that's big for me. But I think he put together a hell of a project. I don't think it's going to be up for like album of the year or anything of that nature. And not because it's not good enough to be that. I just think that he's not going to get the buzz and the hype that he deserves off this joint, because he doesn't really have, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, and I know you will, he doesn't really have the high value production backings that he did when he was with G-Unit, right?
He's doing more like tapping in with people who he kind of knows on a personal level.
And that's love. But you know, one of the things that made that G-Unit run crazy was Fifth. And you know, although Fifth ain't the person you need backing your shit now, because Fifth just ain't got the pulse like he used to, you know what I'm saying? He just don't got that connection, you know, to be in that running. And it's no slight, because the album of the year shit is just corny. You know, it's all politics. And like I told you a couple pods ago, Push, I just, without even hearing the album, I know Push going to be up for album of the year. But my favorite tracks on this album, I definitely fuck with Formaldehyde. That's the Benny sound that I like. That's the Griselda sound that I like, right? I love the John Food with Styles. You know, Styles P, your favorite rapper's favorite rapper, right? Like,
absolutely, you know, absolutely.
I think the album starts off crack with Propane and all that shit. I think he's got a good mixture of just ups and downs and smooth music on it. To quote my man Trayvon Edwards, I don't know if you can play this for the hoes. That is not my words. Those are Trayvon's words.
Shout out to Trey.
But, you know, that does factor in it when you think of albums of the year and shit like that, right? Like, that's how your Travis Scott's and all them who don't really even fucking rap be up there for rap album of the year, because they make that shit that you know, that you gonna want to hear in the summertime
everywhere.
And again, this is definitely a summertime album. It's definitely ride out music, but it's not yo, I got two with me, let's go pick them up, let me throw this Banks on type shit. And again, that's no knock on
right.
You know what I'm saying? But with that being said, I think it's a dope album. He did a hell of a job. It's far from perfect, in my humble opinion, but I've never been his audience, right? Ever. But tip my cat, shout out to Lloyd Banks. You did a hell of a job, bruh. I think you deserve to come out again. You know what I'm saying? I think you should follow up with something else. I think you should be, if you choose, I think you should now be fucking with everybody's tracks and being on featured on this, that, and the third, and just blessing the world with the gift that you have. But I'm gonna just, at this point, my microphone is gonna go on mute, and I'm gonna just let my guy have it.
Oh, it's time, man. Look, y'all had to know this was coming. Y'all had to know. I want to say this. Shout out to everybody, the true fans, the core fans, the people who's been like, I don't want to say like begging, but like really, really, you know, fuck it. Yeah. Begging for new music. You know what I'm saying? Like, not in that way where it's like, I'll do anything like it's, but like really asking Lloyd Banks, like kicking his door down for new music for all these years. And so here's what Banks decided to do, right? He dropped, you know, he'll drop a freestyle here and there, you know, just to kind of be like, all right, cool. Just sparring. Fuck it. I'm gonna just put a freestyle out. A couple months, I'll put another one out. Like, you know, it's whatever. Right. So what he decided to do after a while, and I have to shout out Griselda for this too, because for the last couple of years, they've been getting Lloyd Banks out of his bed to rap on a consistent basis. They had a song a couple years ago called Bullet Club. It was Conway, Benny, and Lloyd Banks. And, you know, I remember when I saw Conway post the video of Banks walking in the studio, I was like, this is crazy. Like, my current favorite rap group is linking up with my favorite rapper ever. Like, this is ill. You know what I'm saying? So a couple months later, we got the song Bullet Club. They went absolutely crazy on that. I think Benny probably ate everybody's food on there, respectfully. After that, you get the song on the Conflicted soundtrack. You got Banks on there. Banks tapped in with Benny again on this album, like Jerv said. But I want to shout out to the fans for one thing, because when Banks opened up his store, his online store, I want to say last year, maybe like top of the years, he put out all his merch. He put out everything on there because he was like, all right, cool. Y'all asking me to drop music. Let me see if y'all really going to support when it's time for me to, you know, to come out with something. Let me see what's going on. Let me test the waters. Every single time he dropped anything, it sold out. You know, he dropped the royal blue line, or the blue Hefner line, he called it, of, you know, that certain colorway, that certain blue, you know, the hoodies, the t-shirts, the, you know, everything, the sweatpants, the shorts, everything. Everything sells out. You know, he got a bar on the album where he said six figures on, you know, every time he dropped. You know, I'm paraphrasing a little bit, but shout out to all the fans that made this shit happen, because without that type of buzz and that energy, I don't think Banks drops a new project, because it's like, at a certain point, he feels like he's being like, whatever, like people just saying, oh yeah, drop. And he like, whatever, like y'all ain't, if y'all not checking for this shit, what I'm, you know, why would I just drop something just for the hell of it? But I'm super happy. I'm super proud that he's getting all the acclaim that he's getting. Everybody from like Swiss Beatz, Raekwon, DJ Premier, Busta Rhymes, Benny, Conway, Clue, Travis Scott even, which surprised the shit out of me, because like I wouldn't have picked Travis Scott as somebody who was tapping into Lloyd Banks. You know, him being a younger cat, him making the music that he makes, I wouldn't think that Banks would be within like in his arsenal of, you know, just something, you know, just on the playlist, but he showed love to it. I mean, anybody you could think of, Royce da 5'9", like just Daylight, the battle rap and everything, like everybody is tapping into this album and they showing them love. DJ Scratch, everybody, bro, like really everybody you could think of right now is coming out just saying like, yo, this album is fire. Like, this is what we needed. This is what we missed. And they're giving Banks his flowers, which is something that I can appreciate, because, you know, I tell people all the time, like, he's not going to lose it, bro. Like, he's not going to, you know, he's not just going to wake up one day and just not know how to rap. Like, when you do something that well at that high of a level for that many years, you don't just wake up one day and just not be able to do it anymore. So I do want to say shout out to Lloyd Banks for this album. I think it's perfect. I think it's perfect because it's a Lloyd Banks album, and this is what, like, the Lloyd Banks fans wanted. Like, we want to hear him rap. We want to hear the content. Because I think for so long, a lot of people felt like Banks didn't really open up about his life, which is why, like, I guess, like, a wider audience didn't really tap in as much as they probably should have when, like, 50 wasn't, you know, back in the music or whatever, or, you know, it wasn't a G-Unit-related product. But on this album, he really got, like, real introspective. Like, he's giving you gems. He's giving you what's going on in his life, how he thinks about things, how he's breaking things down, you know, just shit that bothers him, things that, you know, talking about anxiety and just, you know, just things like that that – And especially in this climate right now, it's great to hear, because you always want to hear what somebody's, you know, going through if you're going to be consuming their product and, you know, listening to their music a lot. So shout out to Banks. I want to say that I don't necessarily have a favorite. My favorite changes depending on the hour you ask me. I will say that off the rip, I had to rewind the intro like 4 times. Like Jerv said, the shit started off crack off the rip. Just like he's rapping. He's rapping his ass off. The beat is crazy. Like, the production's amazing. I want to say that he picked the right features. That's very important. You got Freddie Gibbs on Empathy. You got Rock Marcy. And it's not so much of the names. It's where he has them, like the placement of it and everything, the subject matter and everything. You got Freddie Gibbs. You got Rock Marcy. You got Benny on Formaldehyde. You got Styles P, of course. Like, they don't have a bad song together. You know, every time they link up, it's always magic. You got Ransom, of course. You know, they linked up for another joint on Ransom's album called Ransom's album is 7, and they got a joint in there called Gluttony, you know what I mean, which is fire. You know, he got Votto on the joint, and he got somebody on there, Psy, Already Kid. who I wasn't familiar with, but he did his thing. Like, he did his thing, you know, the hook work and, you know, the vocals and everything. Like, so I do think that if I had to pick a favorite off the top, I would say Crown, because he went crazy. Like, it reminded me of Father Time from Hunger for More 2, for, like, you know, for everybody that, all the Banks fans that know, that's one of his best songs. Like, he went absolutely crazy on Father Time, man. If you never heard that song, check that out. But yeah, what I liked about this album is that he didn't go for a record to get played in the club. He didn't go for one of those, like, yeah, play this around the hoes. Like, in my life, I've probably met a handful of women who were, like, Lloyd Banks, like, fans. I met a lot of them that thought he was handsome, thought the nigga looked, you know what I mean? Like, it, like that, on that level. But, like, rap-wise, just, like, throw that Banks on. It's been a handful. I'm 33. It's been a handful. And like Jerv said, it's no knock. It's just, this is what it is. You know, this is the lane that he's in. But yeah, shout out to Banks. You know, I do want to say that. Shout out to Lloyd Banks. This album is incredible. Please keep dropping more music. We will continue to support it. The game needs it. Thank you, bro. Thank you. That's what I want to say. Banks hit his shit. Thank you, bro. Straight up.
And there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. I got nothing, you know, my man said what he said. You know, he talks about what he likes and he fucks with Banks.
Yeah, that's it, man. You know what I mean? That's what I'm on. And I think really what kind of brought it home for me was, like, my group of friends that I talk to about music, like, all the time, like day and night type shit, they really tapped in. Shout out to my man Kev. Like, my man Kev hit me and was like, yo, he was in a group chat like, yo, Mari gonna lose his mind when he hear this shit. This shit is fire. Because I didn't listen to it right away when it dropped at 12. Like, you know, I'm doing some shit in the crib and all that. He in the group chat going crazy. He posting song after song like, oh, this shit is going crazy. Like, he gonna lose his mind. I put it on and, you know, Kev's been adamant about this album too, man. You know, and I just wanted to say that. But continue to tap in with us. Rap Names Podcast, been another episode of the shit that we do every week. You get this every Sunday. Continue to rate, subscribe, review, tell a friend to tell a friend. And remember, follow the Bomb Podcast page. It's me. I'm him. I'm taking over. You know this shit now. You know it's going up. At BOMM Podcast on Twitter, on Instagram. Jerv, what up, man? What else you got, man? Before we get up out of here.
Just catch my motherfucking team. Trying to host this motherfucking Larry O'Brien trophy, man. We not playing around with y'all clowns, all right? We not playing around with y'all, all right? Second in defensive player of the year voting, second in MVP. My man Doc Rivers not even going to get mentioned for coach of the year. All right. It's cool. All right, say less. We got y'all.
And if we didn't say this already, fuck Rudy Gobert. That's that.